Hello, hello. This is Celeste. We are on the Sales Edge podcast. I am with Randy. We've been chatting ahead of time, pre-recording, 30 minutes, and I'm blown away by the unique story. I can't wait for you to share it with our listeners here. So give us the lowdown on who you are, what you're up to, and then we'll get into some questions.
Well, thank you for having me, Celeste.
And we didn't plan the red for those of you there. Listening on audio, we are both wearing red today.
Oh, great minds think alike. So I think what I'd like to share with everyone is, you know, sales is a wonderful place to be. It's not a dirty word. And the other thing that I'd like to share is that we need to give people more chances in sales. And what I mean by that is I'm actually a clinical scientist turned revenue growth leader. And everyone goes, clients, sales. This is how I break it down. So as a scientist, I was trained, number one, to fail. That's what running experiments do. You iterate to get the right outcome. Well, think about sales in your go-to-market motion. What are you doing? You need to know your numbers, where you need to improve, and you are constantly iterating, whether it's, you know, ACV, having a larger contract value, or whether it's, you know, getting more inbound, or whether it's, you know, conversion rates, whatever it is, that's what we do. So I was literally trained to fail and experiment. And that's exactly what I do as a sales leader. And for anyone who's thinking, okay, that's all good and well, Randy, but how did you transition? I think it's also important, like I said, giving people a chance, as I already said. And I was fortunate enough that as a leader over, you know, a life sciences group, I had a network who's like, you know, you would be really good at actually selling. So I took a chance on myself, stepped down, set my ego aside and said, I need to learn, took an individual contributor role, which meant a lower title and less pay. And in that first year, I blew away the number that I was given by 2.5 times. And not only that, they asked me, okay, if you can do that on your own at a startup where no one taught you how to do it, you just went out and did it, can you teach a team? And I was like, okay. And so if I can do it, anyone can. And if you are like even considering like, oh, I don't have the skills, you do have the skills. There are lots of transferable skills. And I know myself as a leader, when I'm looking at resumes, I'm not just looking at the piece of paper. I'm looking at the whole person because there's things that can be taught and there's are things that you bring to the table, right? Whether it's transferable, your attitude. And one of the biggest things in sales is being coachable, right? So that's one of the things that I just like to share about myself as scientist to revenue growth leader. And now I'm just a mad scientist obsessing over the go-to-market motion.
Right. Obsessing over that data. So I think you touched on it a little bit, that sales edge. If this was the only clip someone heard and we were asking, hey, Randy, what do you consider your sales edge aside from scientists to where you are now? How do you sum that up?
Well, this is going to be a little contrarian. A lot of people think that your edge is, ooh, what tech tools do you have? If you don't have tech tools in your bag, how are you going to do it? It's not about the tech tools. It's about you as the individual and the skills that you have. So I'm always investing in myself. Here I am, been doing this for quite a while. But guess who's taking course after course? Why? It's not just for the material. It's for the cohorts and the other perspectives, because I am the game changer in the conversation. If I can obsess about my customer, learn to really understand what their pain points are, talk like them, add value. Because remember, no one cares about what you sell, right? It's only if you're helping someone and someone wants to be seen, valued, heard in the conversation. That is the game changer, is you. And as soon as you get that growth mindset and really focus on upskilling yourself, you will see results and you will go further than you thought you could. Look at me. I'm SVP of sales, marketing, customer success. I am living proof of this. I just started investing in myself. And honestly, when I went into sales, I had no idea. Miller Hyman, Medic. I was like, I know a lot of acronyms because I've been in healthcare and life sciences, but I don't know those.
Yeah, and I and you and I were chatting a little bit earlier. So anybody who is entering sales right now is in such a different place. I mean, obviously every generation can say this, right, as time goes, but the tech tools have skyrocketed. And you and I chatted about our when we both entered the market, but I think it's safe to say when we were both in sales, it and started out, it was the grassroots effort. Like tech wasn't a thing. Mm-hmm. And so you really are doubling down on what do I know about my prospective buyer? What language do they speak? Where can I find them? I mean, this was back when there were like pagers and there wasn't really, I mean, email was like just starting to come out, right? In the like 2000s. So we lived through a time when all you had was yourself. Right. You didn't have all this fancy tech to hide behind, this tech stack. And so taking a step back for our modern day sellers, if you strip all of that away, who are you at the core? How are you pouring into yourself so that you can align with your buyer and your customer, but also find that confidence in your own voice? You and I had talked about that, like finding your voice and not being afraid to stand up. You had mentioned, and something I want to share here when we talked off air, is you have all of these people that have worked for you or work with you who say, Randy, I would do anything to be on your team. What does that stem from?
I think it's because I'm a lifelong, I call it serial learner. Mm-hmm. You know, I've checked my ego and I always am so excited to share and not only invest in myself, but invest in my team and helping them succeed. I don't always have the best ideas, right? So I just surround myself with people who really want to learn and are coachable. And because I've invested in them and seen them soar, like I said, it's one of the things I'm most proud of is that literally, you know, I still keep in touch with, you know, the team members that I've had in the past. And, you know, the fact that they say, hey, if you had an open position or if you asked me to come work for you, I would work for you again. And I think it's a testament to leadership. And I consider leadership a privilege, which is another thing. And if you're not investing in your people, you know, what are you doing, right? Like, I'm not a hands-off leader. And I'm not saying I micromanage, but what I'm saying is I coach to the individual. What do you need to be successful? Everyone learns differently, mm-hmm. and everyone needs help in a different space, in a different way. But I'm also the person who has seen something in you and believes in you, and I will keep on you till you believe it in yourself.
Yeah, that's so awesome. And I love how you said, you know, leadership is a privilege. And I was looking at something yesterday, which I think I wrote back a barf emoji on LinkedIn, and it was a sales leader who had posted this really cringy job, and all the sentences start with I, like, I'm looking for this. If you're not willing to do this, this isn't for you, because this is how I run the team. And it screamed, this is a very selfish leader. And we're in a day and age when people will jump ship, mm-hmm. and something that keeps a team and keeps people together really is this culture. And a lot of it's done around the leadership. Yeah. But leaders have to be investing in yourself as leaders, right? My father's 78. He has a $10 million business. He constantly is like, Cece, I read this book and I was looking at this, and constant that, as you said, like just that just consumer of knowledge and information, because then we have this opportunity to not hoard information. And I think part of my issue with leadership growing up through the ranks is they always felt threatened. Maybe someone was going to take their job or what, like, who cares, right? Isn't the point that we're building people up so that they can go on, just like we were talking about parenting, and go out into this world, usurp us in a role, or, you know, go on to do great things? Like, that is growth. And when it comes from a place of that like servant leadership, but you also have to be a little bit of that parent where you're moving people along because they don't know what they don't know. So I appreciate you sharing about pouring into yourself. You also mentioned that you're writing a book. Tell us a little bit about that new chapter, so to speak.
Yeah. So I just want people, you know, my give back is I want people to know, and it is geared more towards women just because that's my point of view, that you can do anything. So I'm the queen of transition, you know, clinical scientist to, you know, this individual contributor. I kind of spent a little bit of area in, you know, CX and before I got into actual sales and running sales, marketing, customer success. But I want people to realize that everyone has it within them. And, you know, anyone can change at any time. And whether you've had success or failure, your past does not define your future. And I'm super excited just to share my journey and my story in the hopes that it inspires others to either, you know, take a leap of faith or just ponder and be curious about what if, and giving them, you know, that space to think about what they want to do in their lives.
Yeah, that's so wonderful. I'm excited to have heard about the journey. It obviously inspires my own journey. And for everybody out there, I think we're both in alignment. Like, everybody has a great story to tell. Everybody has that book, whether they write it or not, that is this like running dialogue that people want to hear. We are all inspired by others' journeys. I'm definitely inspired hearing how you've gone from this like mad scientist, right, into your current role. And we were connected on LinkedIn. You were referred to me as someone I had to meet, someone I had to chat with because of this unique crossover. And it so aligns with early on in my career. I wasn't in sales. I was in association management, event meeting management. And someone took a chance on me. I went through 7 interviews and landed a director of sales role. And I couldn't even tell you what the industry was, any acronyms, like I was flying blind. But somebody took that chance on me, just like you took that chance on yourself and said, I'm going to go for it because I have this innate skill set. And now sharing with other people that journey and saying, hey, you can do it too. It might be tough. You may fail forward, but it's your story to tell and your journey. So I so appreciate you sharing time with us. Individuals can find you on LinkedIn. You're putting out some amazing content. And I love that we were connected by Riley. He's the master connector on LinkedIn.
He is the evangelist of LinkedIn. We got to give Riley a shout out for sure.
Yeah,